James. Chapter 1, verse 12 is where we're going to start this morning. We're going to be in five different books. They'll all be in the New Testament, but we're going to be in five different places looking in God's Word at five different crowns that it talks about that we can lay up or that we can earn here to lay up there. And the first crown of all is what you've got to have is a crown of life. If you don't have the crown of life, you're not going to be able to obtain any other rewards that it talks about in God's Word. Because if you're not His, and you're not saved, you're not going to be able to earn or lay up anything else in eternity there until you have that first crown. So it's the most important crown. Everyone today needs to have the crown of life. And we need to be able to know Him here personally as a Savior, as a personal relationship with God Himself through His Son Jesus and the blood He shed on Calvary and brought salvation to mankind, that we don't have to die and go to the devil's hell. We've been talking about angels a little bit on Wednesday night here the past couple of weeks, and that hell was created for him and his angels to go and to be able to be punished because of their disobedience to God, because they lifted up their self in pride as Lucifer looked, as Satan looked at God's throne room, the most beautiful angel, perfect in every way, a covering angel in the throne of God, there in the presence of God, but yet he wanted to exalt himself above God. Let me tell you, there's many people today that's trying to exalt themselves above salvation, but when it gets down to is we all have to know Jesus as a personal Savior and have the blood applied to our life, not because mama was saved, not because daddy was saved, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa, but because we know Jesus as our personal Savior and put on a crown of life that God will give us. In James chapter 1 verse 12 it said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. To love Him, you have to know Him. You have to be on His team. You have to be adopted into His family, because if you're on Satan's side, you have no love for Jesus. You have no love of God. You may have a knowledge of both, but you don't know them, so you can't love them as they love you. God loved you completely. He loved you beyond compare. And He said He would give us a life crown, eternal. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. How can you endure temptation? It's only through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and knowledge of God that we can endure temptation. Not that enduring is going to make us saved, but because of His Holy Spirit, because of His blood, that we can overcome temptation. Until we know Him, we can't overcome the temptations of this life. They will bring us down. But it says that the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. Let me tell you, Satan will try us today. He was the first one at church. He'll be the last one to leave. And I ain't talking about the first one that was in the parking lot. But he is right here waiting for the doors to be opened. He's waiting for an avenue into your life, and he will try to find one any way that he can. How are we going to, when we're tried, how are we going to endure? It's only through God's Spirit guiding us and giving us strength. I can't beat Satan alone, but I serve one who can, because he's already beat him. He beat him the day he went to the cross of Calvary. The seed of Eve there in the garden, that it said one day that he would bruise his head and he would bruise his heel. Thank God when Jesus stepped out, he stepped on Satan's head that day forevermore to leave a bruise right on top of his head, that he's defeated today. And let's live like we're victorious. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. There's people out there, why is God doing this? Why is he tempting me? God's not tempting you. It says so right in his word. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. He lets us go through trials here. He lets us go through testings, and he allows Satan to come against us. But also he can say, Satan, you can't bother him now. You have to flee. So whenever we see these temptations coming, how can we endure? Through his Holy Spirit. How can we know his Holy Spirit? By having the crown of life. How can we have the crown of life? By having Jesus' blood applied to our life, that we can have the crown of life that we're laid up there in heaven. I thank God that I'm not laying that crown up, that I'm going to be able to walk around. And we kid my grandma. She loves Burger King. If there's ever been a little lady in Sparta that likes Burger King, my grandma, she's the Burger Queen. 365 days a year, she goes and gets her hamburger from Burger King. We have her birthday party one time. We gave her a crown and a scepter. She wore it in up there. She said, I'm here. She was going to take over. But we look at those things and we look at those crowns and things, but those things are that's going to fade away. We like to kid her about it because she likes it so good. And she's there and she knows all the managers. She knows everybody by name that works there. And God knows everybody by name that's working for Him and those that's on the other side. God knows all these people. But we've got to have the crown of life that's laid up for us that's there. Now we look at another crown. We look at a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. Let me go back here and look and see what scripture here. Crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Are we looking and longing for His appearing? There's many people today say, oh, well, you know, boy, I just can't wait to get there, but I ain't anxious. You know, anymore it's getting where we're anxious. Children of God ought to be anxious that we're going to get to go home, that we're getting closer. I'm getting anxious that it's going to be a time that we're not going to have to suffer anymore. I'm getting anxious for that time when we're not going to have to see the troubles and trials of this life, that we're not going to see those that's coming against God and the Antichrist spirit that's out there today that seems to be growing stronger and stronger because of the evil that's in the land today. Let me tell you, the crown of righteousness here, that we love His appearing. Church, we ought to be looking for His appearing. We ought to be packed up, prayed up, looking up, because we're soon going up. We need to be getting ready and we need to be longing for that crown of righteousness. Righteousness through God, the righteous one will give us for looking and loving His appearing. Let me tell you, we're not only talking about His appearing that we're seeing whenever He calls us home, but we can have His appearing here in our life now. We can have Him on the scene moving in our life. We can see miracles happen. We can see hearts that's broken, mended, and growing and getting stronger. We can see lives that seem crushed, lifted up because of the appearing of God. I love to see His appearing in people's lives and see Him working and people surrendering to Him, humble their hearts before Him, and God taking them and lifting them up, that they got that righteous crown that only God can give, because we love His appearing in our life. We love to see Him working. We love to see His appearance that's in the church. We love to see and long for the day of His appearance in our life when we're called home to be with Him. But are we longing and loving and looking forward to it? Or if we got to the point where we're settled and we're just going along with the status quo and we get in that ebb and flow and we just kind of go with the motions and we just get out of maybe serving Him like we ought to and go into the motion of things. We need to go back every once in a while to the place where we were saved and remember when we was lost and when Jesus came into our heart and get us excited once again that we long for His appearing, that we don't fear death, but that we can embrace it as a release from the ailments of this body and the ailments of this life. Now, I'm ready to go, but I want to stay here as long as I can. I'm just like anybody else. But I'm longing for that day. I'm longing for that day. I want to be here to see my kids continue to grow and the grandbabies to continue to grow, Justin to get married one of these days and have kids too. I want to see those things. I want to see your kids grow up. I want to see these new ones that's coming along. I want to see them become fine young men and women. I want to see them grow up to the point whenever they're taking over our positions in church. But if God says it's enough, I'm ready to go too. I'm ready to be there with Him. I'm ready to be there with Him. And that's what we need to long for and look for is His appearing. I want to be here as long as possible. I'm just as greedy as the next one. I want as many days as He wants to give me here. But if He says that's enough, I'll be satisfied too. Be satisfied and looking for His appearing. Now, crown of life, a crown of righteousness. Are we working toward those rewards? Everybody, and I heard this last, I think it was last night or night before, this comedian was talking about, everybody wants recognition and rewards. Do you want to stand in God's heaven with nothing but a crown of life? Now, it's important. You got that one. You got to have that one. But do we just want to be settled with one thing to lay at His feet? Or do we want to work for that crown of righteousness? Do we want to long and look for His appearing? Do we look for that righteous judge to come? Look for that righteous king to come? Are we looking for His appearing? Are we longing for Him to come? Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. This is the crown of glory we're going to talk about now. Had a crown of life, crown of righteousness, now we have a crown of glory. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now this crowd, not everyone's going to be able to receive, because not everyone's called to be an elder in the church, either a deacon or the pastor or the preacher. Not all the positions like that, not everyone is called into. God has those that He calls into those. And this crown of glory that it's talking about here, by feeding the flock and being examples and living our lives before others, and not just preach the Word, but also live the Word in our life. Do we always fulfill that? No, let me tell you, I'm just as human as you are, and I make my mistakes. Do I live a perfect life? No siree, Bob. But I live as close as I can every day, and ask God to help me to be the example that you might can see, and not just be there to feed you the Word and say, go do as I say and not as I do, but that you can look at my life and say, well, if He can do it, I can do it, because it's what's going to be right by the Word of God. That we would be able to have a crown of glory. And the only way that I can live that life is through Jesus. It's nothing that I can do on my own, but surrendering to Him, humbling our hearts, and allowing Him to use our lives, that we're able to feed the flock, to be an example, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. There's some today that, unless they get a big payday, they're not going to go preach, they're not going to go sing, they're going to put a dollar amount on it to be able to serve God. God said, go do it, and I'll take care of you. And that's been good enough, and He's always done it. We don't have to put a dollar price on it, but there's many today that's what they're in for. Don't have to be begged to preach. It really, sometimes, when you go to some places and there's five preachers and you got to beg one of them to preach, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Be ready in season and out of season. Study. God move in His Spirit. But no, you preach, no, you preach, no, you preach. Sometimes I don't think anybody had the Spirit to preach. But when God's moving, there's no sitting still. There's no sitting back. But a crown of glory. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. We can graze together on God's Word. We need bell ringer sheep in that flock. We need those that's willing to know the way and to follow the shepherd. And the bell ringer sheep is one that is wise and knows the shepherd's voice and has a bell on it. And he follows that shepherd. And others follow him because he knows the way. I want to ring the bell loud because God is the shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd. I want to be a bell ringer sheep for him. I want to listen to Him and know His voice and know the way to go, so one day there'll be a crown of glory that I can lay back at His feet. And Him not say to me, you was a slothful preacher. You wasn't doing what I asked you to do. You were lazy. You didn't work to accomplish the things that I wanted you to do. I want to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I want to be able to have this crown of glory to lay back at His feet. Because He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that's worthy. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 2:19. This morning, do we have a crown of rejoicing? I know we all do it in a different way. We don't all rejoice the same way. Some it's a lifted hand. Some it's a tear runs down the cheek. Some it's a smile on your face. Some it's a shout. Some it's a testimony of giving rejoicing. And some of it's just you just get so full you just can't do nothing but just sit there and nod your head in agreement with the Spirit. We all do rejoicing in different ways. But do we earn that crown of rejoicing? Are we rejoicing today for what God has done in our life? Are we seeking to have a crown of rejoicing? And let me tell you, this life can bring us down, man. I tell you, the things of this life can just weigh on us, and it can kill our joy, and it can come in, and we can get so wrapped up with everything that's going on. We got so much to do in this busy life that we live that we can't live. We can't live. And we become slaves to the things of this world, and we get wrapped up in it. We can't just have rejoicing. Rejoicing. I rejoiced when Olivia was born. I thank God for that. And I can look at her and just tears well up in my eyes for the love that I have for that little child. And I can just imagine how God is. I mean, I loved Justin and Cassandra, but something about a grandbaby, and I know some of you've told me that. There's something that love for a grandbaby. It just, I can't explain it. But they're so fragile, and they're so frail, and they're so small. I think you got more time to live and enjoy them because you've slowed down a little bit in life, and you realize how precious it is. When you're a parent, when you're young, sometimes you lose sight of that and trying to provide and different things. But rejoicing to see them, and here she is almost a month old, and you think, where's a month went already? It won't be long. She'll be starting school and graduating high school and going through all them things, and I'm figuring up how old I'll be when she does all them things and all these things. It's just amazing, and it's the same way God is with one of His children. But He wants us to rejoice. When ask yourself, when was the last time that you just rejoiced that God loved you and saved you? I'm not saying that you anything else, just that you just stop for a minute and just say, thank you, Lord, that you loved me and you saved me that I don't have to die and go to hell. It's important that we do that every once in a while. Maybe every day would be good for us. Matter of fact, I think it'd be great for us. And in verse 19 it says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And let me tell you, I rejoice also over those that get saved. Over those that I'm able to preach the Word to, show them in God's Word what it takes for salvation, and for them to accept Jesus as their Savior. Rejoicing because we are producing fruit as God has instructed us to be able to do by producing more Christians. That's what God wants us to do. A crown of rejoicing. Are we rejoicing today? We need more rejoicing in our homes. Too many is, where's the remote? I don't know. Well, find it. Well, I don't know. I didn't have it last. And they're making TVs now that you can't hardly find the buttons on them anymore. And gone are the days when you had to use needle-nose pliers. Some of you remember that when the knob broke. Because you couldn't find nothing and you'd turn it. I can remember, don't turn it so fast. And then you'd have to get in there and turn it with them when she broke the knob. Experience talking. And you only had three channels, so you had to be quick to get around to see what else was on. But we have arguments over that. Where's the phone? I don't know. Most everybody's got theirs in their pocket today. You know, home phone, that's kind of a thing of the past almost. And then, well, who used the last bit of the toothpaste and didn't get a new tube? Or, you know, the little things that we have in life. But we don't have rejoicing. We don't have rejoicing in our homes. We don't have rejoicing in our churches. We don't have rejoicing in our life. We've got all these things in the world that's troubling us and keeps us from rejoicing, praising Him. I mashed my finger the other day and I had to say, thank you, Lord, because I had a finger to mash. Because at one time I didn't know if I was going to have that one, and it gets in the way every once in a while because when I broke it, it didn't heal quite right. And every once in a while I'll hit it over stuff because it hangs down. It's kind of a little lazy. And it'll hang down there and I'll hit it over stuff. But I thank God it's still there. It's still working. It's still got feeling. Because when you're diabetic, you thank God when things hurt. Because that means your neuropathy ain't got no worse. You still got feeling. Revelations 2:10. Last crown we're going to talk about is one that we'll probably never earn. None that we'll never, unless we just give our life for God, we won't be able to earn. Here it's talking about the church of Smyrna. I'll get it right here in a minute. Not Smyrna, that's not right. Yeah, I was right. Smyrna. We're talking about this church, and he's talking about the things that they have done. He's remembering the things they've done. He's remembering the Jews that say they're Jews, but they're actually the synagogue of Satan. Today we have people that call themselves Christians, but they're the church of Satan. Being a Christian just because you're in a church doesn't make you no more a Christian than standing in a garage makes you a Cadillac. You have to know him. You have to have the blood applied. You have to be the genuine article. You have to have a relationship with God. But he's telling them, I see these people, I know what their hearts are, I know what they say they are, but I truly know who they are. And it says in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's going to be a time it talks about in Revelation when grace is gone. And the only way of salvation that it talks about in Revelation once that day happens is that people give their life for God. They don't take of the mark of the beast. They don't humble themselves before the Antichrist. And that they actually give their life, that they are killed, slain for their belief in God. That's going to be a hard way to go. When it comes down to it, that's going to be a hard decision to make. There's going to be few that find it at that point in time that are going to be that steadfast. Today is the day of grace. Today is the easiest that anyone will ever have it to be saved. Because God's love is still here. His grace is still upon the earth. But when His love's departed and His grace is gone, we think we know bad times. We've not seen nothing. And thank God we won't that are saved. But the crown of being a martyr for God, some of His apostles had it because they gave their life for the belief in Christ. They already trusted Jesus, but they become martyrs. There's been people down through the years that have been killed for their belief in Christ. They had that martyr's crown they're going to be able to lay at His feet because He promised it to all those who would be faithful unto death, who would trust Him. And become that martyr. Oh, those people today that think that we're martyrs, we've not given anything when it comes right down to it. But Jesus gave it all. But do you have the crown of life this morning? Revival is scheduled to start next Sunday, but it needs to start today. Do we have the crown of life? Is our crown of life a little tarnished? Have we worked on any of these other crowns that it talks about in God's Word? Now is the time to be working while it is daylight. For the night comes when no man shall work. Now is the time to lay up rewards in heaven that we can lay back at His feet. Because He is the one that's worthy. But you have to have the crown of life. And if you're here this morning and you've never received that crown, this would be the best time that I know of to receive Jesus as your Savior and have that crown placed upon your head by Him that no one would be able to remove, that no one else can take away from you once you trust Jesus. Once you trust Jesus as your Savior. This morning as I get a song prepared of invitation, those of you that have the crown of life already, are we working toward these others? Are we longing for His appearing? Are we longing to feed the flock? Are we longing for those crowns of joy and rejoicing? Would we give our life that we might have the crown of a martyr? I hope that we would. I hope that we would be that sold out to God, that we would just trust Him if He come to that point in time. Hope we never have to make that decision. But I hope God gives me the strength to stand if it ever comes and give it all for Him, because He's gave it all for me. But He said, you must be born again. To endure the temptations that He talked about in the tribulation, you have to be born again to have the crown of life to be able to endure to the end. This morning, do you have that? As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.